Hey girls, Maria Menounos here, author of The Every Girl's Guide to Life. Want to know my best tips and secrets for organization, travel, weight loss, beauty, fashion, and everything else in between? Go to bing.com/Maria and pick up my new book, The Every Girl's Guide to Life.
You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment. From the AfterBuzz studios in Los Angeles, California, and streaming live on Ustream, this is AfterBuzz TV for Animal Planet's Whale Wars. Tonight's host is Stuart Lill. Joining Stuart will be AfterBuzz co-hosts John Comerford, Phil Svitek, and Michelle Macedo. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest Whale Wars news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, picking up where the show leaves off and the buzz continues, Stuart Lill!
Oh my God. Thank you for extending that, Phil. Yeah. Now, with that great introduction, yeah. It's great to be back.
Yes.
You have no idea
Welcome
how many
back,
times
Stuart.
Thank you,
I've heard that.
What?
Oh,
I'm sorry.
And you were, I haven't been here.
Was that the running joke? Yes.
Well,
I've been
gone. Welcome back.
Yes, it's great to have you back. Please share with us where you've been.
Boy. Let's see. I've been a lot of places.
On the Bob Barker?
I'm not in the Bob Barker.
The Gojira.
Or the Gojira. I'm jealous. Of those of that crew, but not in the Antarctic Sea. No,
yeah.
I've just been around the country a bit by road.
How was it?
It's very good. It was 6 weeks, me, my girlfriend, and going just to every national park you can think of, all the way to graduation and back.
And how many whales did you save
lots
on your trip?
Lots of them. I encountered many Greenpeace and Sea Shepherd pinboard people to
Good.
Make donations.
Good. Are you vegan?
Oh. Continuing on. I don't want to upset any.
That's the classic stew, by the way.
Yeah, that's true. Phil does good impressions of you.
Yes. I've heard. I'm up to
you got
speak
the
to
one
Phil
worders.
Privately
right.
after the show about
the
that.
One worders.
But Stu, you are the reason why AfterBuzz is doing Whale Wars. You are the reason why I love Whale Wars. You are the reason why... Now, John and Michelle love Whale Wars, and why Molly, a new AfterBuzz recruit, is enjoying popcorn with me in the booth because she loves Whale Wars.
Because of Stu.
Love Whale Wars.
I thought I had to get the word out first.
Well,
you know,
you are.
Yeah.
You did.
Yes. You know, at first it caught me 3-4 years ago in a hotel room. Back in the day when...
Was it really in a hotel room?
Yeah, with my parents. Anyway, bad weekend. But
you were hooked.
Yeah, I was hooked. And then, you know,
the
intense music, the cliffhangers.
The aggression.
The aggression. The actual let's do something about it, not just, you know, wave. Talk about it, do something about it, throw butyric acid about it. And I thought I had to spread the word, and that's when Phil and I were still living in Boston, I invited him over, and we had a big Whale Wars marathon. And
we did.
Yeah, you guys, why wasn't I invited? I was there. I was in Boston.
Oh, really?
Awkward.
Yeah.
Your number's not on my phone, so you didn't make the
Whoa.
List. Yeah. So, oh.
Okay.
But
okay.
Anyway, here Whatever. We are, 4 seasons that's later, cool. and now you're here with us, so...
Yes, I
you're
am.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Thank you so
you're
much.
You're real welcome, guys.
Mm.
And you're welcome, Captain Paul Watson, because without me.
That's true.
Yeah. But
I think if he cared about human beings, he would probably say thank you.
Uh-huh. Now, see, I thought the awareness would have gotten out with Matt and Trey Parker, Matt Stone and Trey Parker, with their South Park episode that they did making fun of Whale Wars.
How long ago was that?
Oh, that was, what do you think, 2 seasons ago?
No, that was season 14.
Season 14? Okay. a little bit of a go, but I think they are actually mad at Paul Watson. They actually killed him in the show.
Why would they be mad?
Spoiler alert. I think they were just making fun of the fact that he I don't know, but they killed him. They had the Japanese kill him.
They don't like cult figures? Is that the thing? You know, because Phil's been saying that Paul Watson's a cult figure.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's a little bit weird. Season one, what they're making fun of specifically is it's a theory, but he claimed to have been shot by the Japanese, and he pulled out some booklet from his chest and he's like, "I got shot," and nobody, viewer wise, believed him. But
he actually did it on the show.
He did it on the show.
This didn't come out
in like a news report. He pulled out like a Bible or something.
And why did he pull out a Bible?
Was there a bullet in the Bible that protected him? Is that what he's
exactly
saying?
Yeah.
Well, nobody saw this Bible or whatever.
No, he showed it.
But was there a bullet in it? I mean, you saw it, right?
Yeah, right. You see the bullet.
There was a bunch of cameras around.
We never heard a gunshot.
Got it.
I don't know.
And Phil's favorite song ever.
Yeah.
And he's really good at his PR machine.
He's amazing at his PR machine. What?
He's from South Park.
Oh, okay.
We're not protesters. We're pirates.
Nice find.
Was that it?
Nice find.
That was good.
Anyway, great episode, by the way. I bet nobody got it, though, because I think that was still when Whale Wars had no viewers whatsoever. Except for me and Phil. And
Trey and Matt.
They're always
ahead of the curve.
They are always ahead of the curve. So anybody writing an episode to try and turn into them, you don't do Whale Wars because it's already been done, in case you didn't see it.
It's already been done.
Yeah. So anyway, but with every season, it has gotten better, fortunately. Except season two was a little slow, but everything turned around, luckily. Okay. Now, they tend to do a lot of going places, and they always have to make it interesting, like before they get to the next iceberg, and they gotta include a few heavy rock metal songs that I don't know who's listening to them on this ship, but they throw it in there. And
actually, you know, it does have something to do with your trip, because I remember at the beginning of the first episode that I saw, it said that they looking for the Japanese ships was basically the equivalent of looking for the ship in a space that was as big as the United States.
Right, yeah.
From New York to California.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it.
Needle in the haystack, you know, they got, and in the season one, they only had one ship. And so you can imagine how hard that was. And and every season there's a ramming. Every season there's a...
So we have something to look forward to.
You know,
do they always have the hypothermia? Is this the hypothermia episode for this season?
No, I think this is a first.
Really?
This is a first.
Really?
For the hypothermia. We've okay. So basically, they got all his money starting, I think, season one, when Paul Watson sold it to Discovery and they put it on Animal Planet, and then that's when they got the Steve Irwin. But anyway, like season one, it's a bunch of like nobody knows what they're doing hippies.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And every season they've been getting progressively better. And this season by far is the most professional that I've seen yet. Everybody knows what they're doing. They know season one, like the first attempt Phil, do you remember when they first tried docking a dinghy boat and they tipped it over?
And
everyone went swimming in the Antarctic Sea.
It's kind of like where, you know, a lot of people lie on their resumes. A lot of people lied on their resumes. Being able to do this.
Yeah.
They didn't even know what a bosun's mate was. But yeah, sure, I've done it.
Like, just for example, like his first mate at the time was, Phil, do you remember his name? It was Peter.
Peter Brown.
Oh,
something,
man.
Something like that, right?
Yeah, Peter Brown.
Yeah, yeah.
Nobody liked this guy. That was definitely I used the word earlier to overthrow a ship.
Mutiny.
There was definitely mutiny talk with Peter Brown on board.
Just threw him over. Let's not save him. Sorry, we can't come back for you.
So then he was fired?
Well, he voluntarily left. we think Paul gave him an excuse to go home. And ever since, his current first mate, Peter Hammerstedt from Sweden, who was a diehard forum guy. He was on the internet, you know, back in whale. Whatever, the Japanese stopped doing whaling, and so Paul called him in, and now he's his first mate.
He's not like his sailor. He was a guy that was on the internet promoting.
That's. I mean, I'm sure there's an intense history with all these guys. I don't know. Like the current captain of the Gojira has been like sailing.
We decided you have to say Gojira.
The Gojira. He's been sailing since he was like 12, and he lives on a boat. So that guy's legit. Yeah.
Well, here's my question for Peter: is there Wi-Fi on the boat?
I don't know. We're gonna have to ask him. We're gonna have to ask Peter. We're gonna have to get. Oh no, there is. I don't know if there's Wi-Fi. They have internet. They have satellite internet.
Okay, because yeah. I would say that the internet there is probably Kai.
By the way,
okay, which means
yes,
shaky.
It is
right.
It's iffy.
Iffy.
Yeah.
Well, remember in first season, it was always Paul Watson. Paul Watson was kind of pretty much in his own secluded way.
Yeah.
In his We got Molly messing with the knobs here.
Whoa, Molly.
Whoa, she's kind of high in the booth. Here.
Yeah, but, Molly, that's Kai of you.
Uh-huh. But no, Paul, he was always in his own sort of quarters writing press releases or whatever it may have been.
About how he got shot by the Japanese.
Yes. Yeah. And I think in many ways he was too frustrated to actually face the crew, so he just kind of hung out by himself. Now he feels confident, so he's, you know, out and about.
Yeah. He seems to only... Yeah, he doesn't come out. Well, yeah, that season he barely came out of his cabin and did a lot of hunkered over his computer and sending out emails of, hey, Australia news, we're doing this. And but this season he's much more out. Well, he's been out much more. And except at the end of that season he came out for like, you know, the first time to flip the bird at the Japanese while they were passing him. And I don't think he actually did that. I just was exaggerating.
He just said he did that.
Well,
yeah, he said he did that, but there was a none Bible of the cover. Cameras.
Yeah, right, yeah. Anyway, and then he was shot, so I don't think he's wanted to come out much since. But
what did he say he was shot by? Like a bullet?
A gun. Yeah.
Because they have all these spud guns. They have, like, whatever guns.
Oh, no, this was a gun. Yeah, see, the Japanese, they have really ramped up their artillery over the years. That season, that year, they had nothing.
They weren't even expecting them, right?
Yeah, they weren't. They didn't. Well, so Watson's been doing this since 75.
Oh.
And he's been down there for years. I think starting, I got it up here, I guess since 2003, too. I mean, he's sunk, like, a ton of ships.
Really?
He's actually sunken ships. If there's a flyby shot, I was watching some extra deleted scenes.
Do people
scenes.
Die?
No, but interesting story. Last year, the Atigil, the boat which they used as part of their ship, it was sunk and everything. But anyway, that
rammed
nice. By a Japanese ship, and it was set to world. It was built to set the global record to go around
circumnavigate
the globe. And in the process of the first attempt, they actually ran into a Guatemalan fisherman boat and killed a Guatemalan fisherman. Yeah, and that's probably why. That's probably why that karma was coming for the Atigil. Yeah.
They killed him because they didn't like
that. No, it was an accident.
Which is a strange thing because, you got in the way.
I mean, what?
You're out there in the open. It's a difficult thing.
Yeah, I haven't read the full story. I just read a one-sentence thing about it. Poor guy. and poor Guatemalans, whoever's on that boat. But, he has... but Paul Watson himself, his first ship that he sunk was called the Sierra. And he used to be really big into ramming. He's still into kind of accidentally ramming.
Uh-huh. Is that illegal or something?
How many ships has he sunk, do you know?
Like on the side of the Steve Irwin, there's 10 ships.
Wow.
It says sunken ships, and there's 10 flags.
Nice.
And three of them are pirate ships. I think some are Danish. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember what the other ones were, but he used to be really against the Russians, I think, as well. I think they were big whalers.
Mm. Yeah, they were at some time.
But now it's the Japanese, and he's hoping to put a big red sun flag up there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, so what about? Okay, so he doesn't intend to kill everyone on the boat, or he does?
Well, they're trying to, I think, play. To the public.
I was going to say.
Now there are cameras involved.
Now there are cameras involved.
For him to do that?
No, he could technically be... Okay, so anybody that ever boards those Japanese ships, there's been a couple, they're promptly brought back and they're, you know, brought into a courtroom and convicted. Anyway, Potsy was actually one person who was almost brought back, but they cut a deal. This was in season one. But they cut a deal and they... like some Australian ship came out and they let them anyway.
Big, brought back to Japan.
Yeah, they, yeah.
They last, bring them back to Japan. Yeah. They try them for piracy or whatever.
There's a show out about being in foreign prisons.
Yeah.
Well, we can go back to what we were talking about, but it looks terrible.
I'm not sure, but Peter Bethune, from season three, who was the captain of the Addie Gill, and I think he owned the boat. Anyway, yeah, he boarded the Japanese ship and they brought him back, and I think they tried him. I don't know what. I don't know if he's in jail. I don't know if the government worked out a deal. If I don't have internet right now, so I can't find that.
No.
Peter Bethune, Phil. Peter Bethune.
But man, you know, I think I would consider maybe boarding a Japanese ship if I was out on the ocean in front of an iceberg for like 10 hours.
Oh. I don't think
so. Oh, you want to get to this episode?
We can talk about.
So we talk about this episode.
Whales.
Nice.
We're trying to give a background
migrations.
Here.
Migrations.
No, it's great. I appreciate you filling all that in.
I didn't know any of that.
Does anybody? I would like to talk about the wisdom of their plan.
Yeah.
Of taking the two small boats.
Well, I have the info on Peter Bethune.
All right, let's hear it.
Okay, please.
If you guys want me to, I can read.
Just read it. Yeah.
I actually can't read, but I will attempt to read.
Oh, okay. Okay.
On February 15, 2010, Bethune boarded the Maru with the express purpose of conducting a citizen's arrest of her captain, something-something.
He's hooked on phonics.
Something about $3 million. What else did you want to know?
What happened to him? Did he get convicted? Did he get arrested?
I will attempt to read further. Okay. As you guys discuss.
I think you have some help in the booth there that might be able to do that.
Yeah, someone in the booth can read.
Okay, so here they decide we got to get rid of our
their
tracker.
Yeah.
So we're going to get the small boats and interrupt.
Right, so they have this, they've used this a million times, the iceberg. Let's wait behind the iceberg
tactic. They've used that a million times?
Oh, yeah, it's the oldest one in the book, the Sea Shepherds.
What else can you hide behind?
But it worked, so they fell for it again.
We have it.
Okay.
So he was convicted in a Japanese direct action that involved boarding a whaling vessel and received a suspended sentence.
Wow, I'm surprised.
Okay.
Interesting.
Huh. Okay.
Age 46.
Couldn't the Japanese technically just kill the two little boats?
I mean,
just run over. Oh, them?
Well, they knew they were there,
but it's really hard for a ship that size to just run over a boat like that because those little boats are so nimble; they get out of the way fast.
Oh.
It's really hard
But the reason they went to that iceberg was, I think, one, for a point of reference, and two.
But here's the thing: a point of reference. Yeah. Icebergs float.
It's the iceberg.
So how was that a point of reference? Like they said to him, "Go back to the iceberg where we started." What? It's not going to be in the same spot.
I know. That's where
it's
they
8
need
hours
to,
later. Where the
rope, the like yarn tactic. Like that's when that should
what
come
the
in.
What is that about? That's what I think. The wisdom of.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's the bumper that you laid some knowledge on everyone.
I mean, they have sat phones, they have the trackers, but no, go wait by the iceberg that we first
So they're coming to the iceberg.
Yeah.
All right, John, let's think about this, though. Technology has obviously failed them many times over.
Yeah, it's also saved their butt many times over.
Yeah, but you know what? Maybe this time the iceberg is a better choice than a satellite.
Okay, I'm not going to buy that.
Look, I will say is in like seasons 1 through I think even 3. Those boats have had the hardest time dealing with their satellite phones. They just never worked.
Yeah, well, in the first 3 or 4 episodes we've seen, they always have problems communicating.
There's just always problems.
Yeah. And helicopter, that was scary.
That was scary.
Damn, can't get a signal.
Oh, and you said, okay, I don't know what this is about, but if they have the footage, does that mean the person survived?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. The thing that drove me nuts is they kept cutting back to the guys after the event. So that these guys are okay.
Did they cut to Mikey?
Not yet. Okay. But I'm saying if you wanted to build some suspense, don't cut back to those guys. Don't let me know that they're doing an interview hours, days later that says, oh, it was really cold out there.
Yeah.
It's like, what? You know, let me wonder what really happened to them. Because
otherwise... That worked with the Jersey Shore, though. Why not with Whale Wars?
That's true. Well, the Jersey Shore.
Well, that might be the quality of the people watching it. So,
but they didn't cut to the ones who might have brain damage from hypothermia.
True. But then the whole idea that the last image they had, which was I thought was very interesting, was these were the last images sent from these two small boats. But you know, at least half the people survived. So, if I had not known that they had survived at all, that would have been much more interesting.
Okay.
Yes.
Why give me that information?
It's funny, Phil, because you said on the Jersey Shore, whatever. But I thought that maybe they did die, even though they were being interviewed much later and they were fine. I thought maybe
ventriloquism came in play.
Animatronics?
Animatronics.
This is their avatar
miracle,
talking about.
Maybe a whale was involved. I don't know. But I was kind of confused. But when they.
By the way, do not be surprised if they make a nice little sad montage that the whales came and saved their lives and carried them on their backs.
Okay.
I would not be surprised.
The movie Whale Rider. Nice. That would be good.
Like,
I would like that.
Well, like Whale Rider.
And it's also a metaphor in Free Willy. By the way, the Free Willy trilogy, quick little plug, awesome trilogy.
I actually went to the Free Willy town.
Yeah.
It was quite nice.
Really?
Yeah, Washington.
Free Willy took place
nice.
In Washington?
How was it?
Oregon.
AfterBuzz TV exclusive.
Yeah.
Tell me about it.
For Free Willy. Yeah.
There's that one song from it that's really good. What song is that?
Michael Jackson's Will You Be
Free
There?
Free Willy?
Yeah.
But, Stu, no. Well, how was the town?
I just drove through it, but I saw a bald eagle there. It was pretty cool.
You are so lame.
And Indian, what's his name?
Native
American. Okay. Okay. Anyway.
Okay.
Anyway, we have an Asian Indian in the studio.
Yeah.
So we have to clarify. Asian, American Indian. So the American Indian from the movie, he lives in Dallas, and I've seen him many times
American
in the grocery store.
From where?
From Free Willy.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't
the guy,
see Willy,
yeah.
So I missed it.
The whale whisperer.
That's not his name.
Okay.
Did you say he lives in Dallas?
Or is he?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
He's, cool.
All right,
he's,
Stu,
yeah.
Now that you can't actually talk about this town, just move on. Just move on.
Wow. There's a wealth of information. Okay, but anybody else think that was – because they said it was a risky maneuver to do all this. And it proved right.
Wait, I'm sorry. You said that you saw a bald eagle in this town?
Yeah.
Would you say that maybe...
The eagle has nested? Hey.
Oh, he cut her mic. Nice.
Put that back on. You cannot take my voice.
I didn't know that was going on in the show.
Cutting
the mic.
Am I back?
All the time.
Am I back?
Okay. Yeah, you're back.
The eagle has nested.
Yeah.
Is that okay for me to say?
I loved how Peter... Hammerstead said, "The eagle has nested."
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, what are you talking about?
They like made
I they were
that
just
up
coming
on
up
the
with
spot.
This, like, yeah, this lingo on the spot. It's like,
but if I were,
which is
Japanese.
A weird thing to say because they had been nested there for about 20 minutes or whatever it was before they saw the
no,
Japanese
that's not
ship.
What it meant. Like,
I know it means we saw them.
Yeah,
which that's a weird thing to say.
But we all
the
knew
eagle
that.
Has nested, which means you're gonna do anything.
It's one of those things that you see on TV that no one really uses, but you feel like you have to use. And he just didn't know what to say, so he's like, "The eagle."
He obviously didn't know.
No, what it's like one of those things that in a movie it's making fun of that because you're like, no one actually says that.
The bird is flying out of the cuckoo nest right now.
Exactly.
I'm saying that about no. All right.
Oh
no.
A what?
Cut your own mic, Phil.
Yeah, cut your own mic, please. Right. Just digging yourself into a hole. Thank you. I know where you live.
Okay.
So they get 75 miles away.
Was that the exact amount?
Well, that's what they said.
So 75
they're
miles away.
They're hoping to get at least 20 miles away so they'd be out of radar range.
37 below zero Fahrenheit.
Yeah.
Give the great call of we'll be there in five hours. Is that cool? Is that
his face is the best.
Is that cool?
Nice editing because the look on her
say.
Face was amazing.
Yeah.
He's like, okay, well, that's fine. We'll be there in five hours. The look on his face, classic.
Okay, but let's talk about how they attacked the Nishimaru. Amazing. I mean, I thought it was going to be really hellish getting that tracker on.
Mm-hmm.
And they waltz right up behind it, stick out. Hey, we're done. It was the easiest thing in the world.
That was probably the best executed... plan that I've seen in a while.
Yeah, because everything we've seen so far, it's horrendous getting anything done.
There's one good one every season where they'll be out there for about 10 hours.
It was so anticlimactic. I thought for sure the Japanese would be all over it. Like, how could they not see him coming up? I guess nobody was paying attention.
Yeah.
And they just waltz up right behind them on the stern, stick the thing on and done.
And then, so we saw two new pieces of technology this episode, which was exciting.
So, wait, is this the part where it was caught to their boat and they had to cut it off?
No. Before that, they put the tracker on the stern of the boat. Stern of the ship, excuse me. And it's magnetic, so it just sticks there, and that's what they're going to use to track the Nishimaru.
Yeah,
and then they go around, then they start throwing the smoke bombs.
Well, first they did the shepherd's crook.
Shepherd's crook. I didn't get those because those are just hanging on the railing of a ship.
So they hang two ropes that troll behind really far. So whenever
it
turns,
take it off though.
But whenever
it gets caught.
Well, that's why they did the flares. They were like diverting their attention.
Yeah, but I mean. Leave the smoking thing alone. Take the little rope off. I mean, that didn't seem to be very effective.
It didn't seem like they saw it. Yeah. I mean, but they got stuck. Although that was after they actually did a tow line and prop fowler in front of them.
The first time we saw the prop fowlers this season, very difficult to maneuver, get it in the right place, make it effective. This time, boom.
Yeah.
Got it. No problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Except for the little problem at the end when it's stuck together.
That was a first.
And I've never seen that one.
No, that's never happened.
Yeah, that's
I'm surprised
crazy.
They didn't have a quick release on that thing.
Again,
somebody was mentioning to me as we were watching, how come they're not prepared for these things? They've been doing it for 4 years. This is whatever, 25, whatever, 30 years, whatever it is.
Right. And
a quick release? I mean, you're sailors for crying out loud. I can die a quick release.
Whatever made sense to me about the Sea Shepherds was that they fly them like all in on like one day, they board the ship, and they never practice, you know?
Yeah,
and then they just go out and like, all right, let's do this thing. So,
when people lie on their resume, they really lie on their resume.
Yeah, and that's why season one was such a mess because nobody had ever done this before. Like, thankfully, by season four, we've gotten.
But he'd been doing it since 75.
Well, Paul's not in the
boat. He doesn't care about people, though.
Paul doesn't
He'll
care
be
about
like,
people.
Leave him.
Now,
leave
there's
him.
A very
disconnect the phone.
Yeah, the captain of the Bob Barker is a completely new view on whaling because he values human life more than.
Paul Watson,
Paul is always like, I don't care. You know, let him sit behind the iceberg. We're not going back.
He kind of doesn't even try that hard to hide it. And he also seems like he just doesn't care. I think he wants whales to eat everyone. Japanese, his crew, everyone's crew. That's the way he wants to go. Like, I want to be eaten alive by puppies. But Paul Watson wants a whale.
Okay. To eat him.
Yeah.
Okay.
To be eaten alive by puppies.
Right. Think of how adorable.
The host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principal.
That's a good disclaimer.
Yeah,
that's a good time for a disclaimer.
Thank you.
Yeah. all right. Back on track.
But great, really effective weapon with the smoke thing and sticking in their nets and stuff. The smoke bomb, whatever you call it. Mm-hmm. Flare. Whatever.
Yeah, I thought it was going to catch on fire.
Yes, I thought it was
going
too.
And there was actually a theory. Like back in 2007, or was it last year? Anyway, that apparently Watson was accused of starting a fire on the factory ship. Apparently, it burned.
Right.
And but he didn't do it.
See, I have to guess that in some ways the Japanese love this show because I think it's mollified Captain Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I think he'd be doing much harsher things. But now that the cameras are there, I think he's pulled back.
Yeah, that's so true.
Well. I don't know what their success rate was a few years ago before the show got on board because, I mean, now he has millions to play with. He's adding a ship every year. He has a new helicopter. He's got all these weapons. Mm-hmm. And I mean, they're cutting their quotas in half, you know, every year.
Are they?
And, yeah.
Right. Well, I guess it's effective then.
Yeah, so it's I think it's far more effective now. And then it's probably safer because their old tactic was to just go and sink the ship and possibly kill himself in the process. But
here's your mission.
Yeah.
I know.
Not very many steps to it. Go sink the ship. You might die.
Yeah. And
it's like he's doing it on purpose.
But now, you know, because the Japanese have like a quota of 850 minke whale and like 50 fins and 50 humpbacks and... They've been managing cutting that in half, And now, then, this season, they found him at the beginning.
So why are they still whaling?
Why are they still whaling?
Do they really need this?
Well, I remember in the Cove, you brought this up, Michelle.
Yeah.
Do you remember the scenes where they're talking to like just average Japanese citizens,
yes,
and they're like, "Do you eat dolphin or whale?" And they're like, "No."
Except for then they did that test in the town,
right,
where they do it,
yeah,
and a lot of it was whale meat. So I was thinking too. Okay, so obviously they kill the dolphins, and they know they're eating dolphin, right?
I thought they only served that in like those towns and in like the Sea World.
Yeah.
Of Japan.
Okay. So I googled why do the Japanese kill whales.
Yeah.
And then it said that my server wasn't responding.
Okay.
So I'm gonna press that again.
The Japanese are in charge
because
of
like what else? The meat, right? And then that restaurant in Santa Monica that we talked about last time, where they found whale meat, and there's like a special menu, kind of like on In-N-Out, except for with whales. You know.
Do you have any? I mean, what do they say?
By the way, our worldwide audience must be so in tune with In-N-Out, Santa Monica, and all the. Free.
Well, now they know.
Now they'll Google it.
Now they want to know.
Do you know any information? Do you have any information?
Then when they get here, they'll be like, "Oh my god!"
Even though it's got to be less and less lucrative for them.
I would think so. Nobody will ever really give a good reason. I think it's just these. I think it's just these fishermen who make a bunch of money off of it. And
that's why I'm curious. How can they be making money? Who's buying the stuff? That's what I don't know.
I don't know who's putting money into all those ships because they put a lot of money into it.
Obviously, they're still doing it.
Yeah.
Okay, guys. Japanese people, most of them don't eat whale meat.
Uh-huh.
Some fishing villages and towns are traditionally dependent on whale hunting, yet their right to hunt was denied. Now, depopulation of these areas is a serious problem in Japan. Blah, blah, blah. The Japanese, like any other sovereign countries, don't like to be told what they can do and what they cannot do.
They're stubborn little teenagers.
They cannot yield to the demand
teenagers.
Of...
teenagers. Been around for thousands of years. Teenagers.
So the whaling...
Upstart.
Yeah.
So pre-progressive United States is telling them what to do.
Exactly. They don't like that. So the whaling issue itself is not that big a deal, but what might follow scares the Japanese government. They cannot make such a diplomatic precedent.
Oh. Okay, that makes sense because I know Japan in itself is overfishing everything around in the Japanese Sea as it is. So I could see how a precedent such as this could
they're worried
the
domino
effect.
Mm.
Yes.
It's a slippery slope.
Yeah,
it's a curvy wave.
Yeah, like an Antarctic wave.
Yeah.
AfterBuzz trip, Stu.
What?
You're gonna drive the boat or what? Antarctica, here we come.
Oh, right. No.
The two of you? Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you're coming too.
Hell no.
Listen, I just volunteered you.
Not going to happen. Unless I get to ride on the Gojira.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think it's like to produce a show like this?
Well, in some respects, it'd be a pain in the butt. In others, I would just sit in the office and go, okay, guys, go handle it. I'll edit it when you get back. just give me a lot of footage.
Uh-huh. Well,
yeah, you would say that.
Yeah.
I would say that. Absolutely. I could tell a story out of anything.
I would say, damn, I'm really jealous right now of shows like, I'm thinking of reality shows, which I watch a lot of.
Uh-huh.
Shows like, you know. Give me an example.
Mob Wives.
Like Mob Wives or like Jersey Shore or something. I'd be like, I'm switching jobs because whale shows are way too anxiety producing.
Yeah.
I would be just afraid that I was going to kill people or be the reason why they die.
It's great TV.
Wait.
That's true.
Wait, you were worried as a camera person that you're going to kill people?
Oh, I thought we were talking about being producer.
Oh, well, how about just the camera people that are on that boat?
Yeah.
Oh. Then what would I do?
I would think I'm not getting paid anywhere near enough.
No, exactly. And I thought it was interesting when everyone was becoming like hypothermic or whatever, that guy said, was questioning even being there at all. And he said, am I really being a responsible father by being here at 72 miles away from anyone when they were all dying? So I think that guy should probably go home.
You know, they have kicked off people.
What, for being... too concerned about their family back home?
Well, no. Some people have been allowed to voluntarily leave because they always, Steve Irwin anyways, always goes back to port to refuel in the middle of the season.
Mm.
And so some people do feel like they need to return to their families. And then there's some instances, or at least one that I found, where they kicked off a crew member for identifying their location through an email.
Wow.
And Paul Watson monitors everyone's outgoing email.
Oh my God, he's crazy.
To see if there's any moles on the ship.
Well, nice. When you sacrifice the campaign, then get
how
the
hell
out of
there. How do I shut his microphone off?
You can't. you can't, but I can shut all of yours off.
What did you say?
I can see him.
I wasn't listening.
And so, yeah, you know what? Good riddance.
Yeah, Paul Watson does not make many friends. I don't think.
Unless they're whales.
Unless they're whales, yeah.
Oh.
He's, yeah.
Whale impression.
He will cut connections. Yeah.
He doesn't have any to begin with, really.
Well.
Would you say that he's most like a dictator or something?
Sure.
I mean, if he were to be government.
The captain of a ship, it's pretty much is a dictatorship.
Mm.
But he's like going through the emails.
Well, I agree, though. I mean, he spent his life doing this. It's his campaign. You this is the rules. You come on board my stuff. This is what we're doing.
Mm.
And yeah, if you're going to release information or reveal your whereabouts or whatever it may be,
yeah,
you're not only putting your campaign in jeopardy, you're putting these people in jeopardy.
Yeah.
So not that he would care or not care, because I don't know him well enough to do that. But either way, it's not good for anybody to do that. So mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see why he would do that.
Yeah, I can see why he would
control the flow
upset.
Of information. I mean, that's what every organization does that wants to try to win a campaign.
Yeah.
He just seems like a little ruthless to me.
Well, I would, yeah,
how
you'd
is
have
that
to
different
be.
From soldiers in whether it's Iraq, whether it's in prior wars?
Are you saying
mail.
That to me?
Yes, I'm saying that to you.
We were just agreeing on this.
All right.
I just think Paul Watson's cray cray. I think he's a little
cray-cray.
Off the
no
deep end.
No one knows what that means. Yeah. No one knows.
Crazy.
What that means. Crazy. Okay.
I think he's crazy. Some people do know what that means. I use that word quite often on these shows.
Yeah, our
I don't know, but
Gossip Girl audience is not the same as our Whale Ward audience.
He's certainly, I don't know if he's crazy. He's certainly committed, okay. But and sometimes the there two are confused.
Yeah, you know, you said he's been in the Antarctic for like 25 years?
Yeah.
On a boat there?
Pretty much.
Okay, so he is crazy.
I think, well, yeah.
Like,
but,
that's
but
not
here's
just
the thing.
People, like,
this is his mission.
Crazy.
This is what he, in his mind, it's, this is why he was put on this earth.
Yeah, obviously something really intense is driving him. Do I know what that is? No. But it's
but
obviously intense.
He has some pretty killer stories. That's a bad word to use.
Yeah,
but,
I was going
to
say.
Anyway,
say.
But, you know, guys, I mean, he got into this and was just really became committed once he had a Russian harpoon fly over his head when he was trying to come between I think this is when he was still a Greenpeace, trying to come between a whale and the ship, and they just didn't care about their science. And so that's why he has devoted his life to throwing stink bombs and flares.
And
so I'm guessing he doesn't have like a family or anything.
I don't know. I don't.
Might.
We don't know what's going on that ship, Michelle.
We
don't meet
in
everyone.
Any of the other seasons, because this was the first episode that I'd seen this season where they actually took any time. They're talking about Mikey May, whatever they call him. And they talked about, you know, where he came from, what small town, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That's the first time I've had any personal knowledge of any of the crew members.
Mm.
And have they done that in any season?
Because
I would think that would make it more interesting because then you're bringing in the real person there. And then you get more – they're more relatable. You start to see them differently.
Mm.
But they haven't done that at all this season.
Yeah, this has been pretty much business. Let's stick with business this season. I mean, I think first season was really into that because there was like a married couple or a couple that was engaged or whatever. Potsy was really focused on. He was like the new goofy guy with the dreads, and now he's much more serious.
You never
this season.
See anything below deck.
Yeah,
unless it's something to do with the mechanic. You don't see. Hey, here we're.
Unless someone's about to have a hole punctured in the hole.
You don't get to see. Oh, we've been out at sea for for 6 weeks, and you know my wife's pregnant. She's gonna. You don't have. There's nothing about any of that.
I think it might be because there's a lot going on this season, and they just don't need to spend the time there.
But there's a lot of. We're waiting. We're driving. We're sailing. Whatever we call it, and we're looking for a ship. And there's a lot of people going. I need eyes on the bridge. And there's a lot of looking out at the horizon.
There's a lot of binoculars.
Oh, look, ice. And there's a lot of that.
Cue heavy metal music.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's like the most intense
not this particular episode,
ever.
But there. I mean, and I'm still finding some of it fascinating. I'm just wondering why they don't do
that's
that.
Really,
not
is
the
that
song.
Your version
that's
of
not
metal?
The song. I don't think that's the song, Phil.
Because I want to know what kind of person decides to give up their life to do this. That's what I want to know.
Uh-huh.
And I'm missing that part of the show. What makes them want to commit themselves to this? They're willing to put up with all the elements
uh-huh.
and I'm sure there's not a lot of pay in this.
No, these are all volunteers.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like,
so what makes that person, and where did that person come from? What's their background? What was the decision? You know, what's their, you know, the final thing? What was
did they ever ask anyone that?
AnimalPlanet.com.
No, I want to see it in the show. God. That's what I'm talking about. I don't want to read about it.
That's where we
want to
see it.
Why are we playing Cartman right now?
I don't know. Phil got hypothermia and doesn't know what to say or how to function anymore. Mm.
Okay, so 8 hours at sea. Yeah. You got 4 more hours to go.
Yeah.
Hypothermia sitting. Enough. Hey, Mikey looked pretty bad there. He sounded like he was starting to talk babble.
Yeah, talking about his Mustang.
Well, I think he said his Mustang suit.
But at first still it was like, sounded, wait a
second. Yeah, he wasn't putting the sentences together quickly enough.
No, he seemed
his
really out of it.
His syntax was a little bit messed up.
Yeah.
And then they let him sleep.
I know. Isn't that
bastards.
Exactly what you're not supposed to do?
No, you're not. Yeah, exactly. You're not supposed to do that. I don't know. I was surprised they didn't. Well, just look. If they're at an iceberg that's obviously moved.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't stationary where you could find us again where you left us. So why don't they just at least move in the direction that the ship is coming in so that they could be moving and create some heat?
Because I think the iceberg is cutting down on the choppy waves or something. I feel like
protection
there.
That's a good idea.
Except it takes longer. I mean, you could shorten that time period.
I don't know why they didn't do the tow line by the beginning when it was still soft, not choppy.
So, you know, the boat was, like, sinking or whatever was open, and they stopped pulling it because I thought that it would have taken both boats under or something.
But they weren't connected, so.
But weren't they, at the very beginning, weren't they pulling them?
No, they weren't.
By the way, I'm getting word from apparently our other producer, John Comerford's wife, that it is now 8 o'clock and we should be wrapping the show.
Oh,
soon.
That's
so we
right.
Got Stu, give us another 5 minutes. Let's go to commercial and then we'll wrap it up.
Yeah.
Another 5 minutes?
Yeah, we got 5 more minutes.
Okay.
So, yeah, but seriously, I just think it's a series of bad decisions, you know, all in the pursuit of stopping the whaling. And I get why they're doing that, but... You know, first of all, the decision to leave the two small boats and, you know, let us get at least 20 miles away and then we'll come back for you at some point. That right there is crazy to me. And then to not go towards the boat, towards the ship that's coming to you.
Do they maybe not know
what
direction?
Seems crazy to close the distance. Instead of it being 5 hours, it could have been 2.
I think that was Peter Hammerstedt's call.
That was just it seemed ridiculous to me. You're not going to a fixed point, so it's not like we're going to just find you easily.
Yeah.
Head towards them.
Well, the other guy, remember, he said, you know, human lives, your lives are more important than getting the tail
back. This is my point. I think you got a better chance of surviving if you go towards that to close that distance. You're going to be out at sea. I think that the risk of hypothermia is worse if you're if you're not moving.
Yeah, exactly.
And it takes them longer.
I mean, yeah.
Well, do they know what direction to go in?
Yeah, because they have the sat phone.
Would the other boat just sink then if it kept trying to go?
Well, it would at some point, but even if it did, at that point, then you get all 6 of them on the same boat. You can still do that.
I was wondering about that.
I would have transferred 2 of them over to the one.
I think it's 8. I got 2 cameramen.
Well, I guess a lot of cameras on their helmets, so I don't know how many cameramen. But let's say they have 2. Big deal. Whatever they got. But I would only have 1. I'd keep 1 back to pilot the other ship, and I would tow it, you know, with the motor running, because with fewer people in it, less damage is going to happen to the pontoon or whatever the heck it is, the split. And you'll get much farther, much faster, close the distance, and hopefully you can rescue them sooner. And they'll stay warmer longer because they're moving.
Well, John,
where were you when Paul Watson
but this is what, I'm not
care.
A sailor. You think these guys can figure this out?
They're pirates. I have a question. Okay.
They're shepherds.
Film people. Would you, if you were filming it,
yes.
Would you leave your camera and footage there? If it got down to it,
would I leave the camera and footage?
Would you
if it got down to that in my life,
wait? Yeah,
yes, I would leave the camera and footage.
I don't know. Then why aren't the camera people? I would get on the other boat.
I think if I was the camera guy, I'd be like, "This is great. Just keep it rolling."
He was inspired to stay alive.
You know, what do you have? 8 hours of battery time.
That's what I'm thinking.
He turns it on every. You know,
how much battery time is it?
How many cards do I have? How much media space do I? I mean, that's crazy.
I bet Animal Planet. The money from Animal Planet was actually giving the camera guy a much better suit than everyone in that boat.
Probably,
and
that's right.
He's the warmest. Yeah. You know, it's kind of like a Survivor thing where everyone's all
it's
the
a
camera
big old
get to eat. And
it's probably got the battery strapped to him, so it's generating heat.
Exactly.
Right there.
Yeah, it's kind of basically like a NASA spacesuit.
Nice. Okay.
And,
yeah, because the other people got.
He has his own life raft. Actually, he could go anytime.
There's a whole ship behind him. That
yeah.
There's just the cameraman.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. But
like they do in Survivor or one of those other shows.
But then, yes, then we're left with the cliffhanger. That's
the cliffhanger.
Yeah, yeah, with the last recording.
Who's going to survive?
Which is what I thought, but we haven't seen the girl being interviewed.
With the last footage.
Yes, yeah, she did. The boatswain's mate was interviewed. Yeah.
Okay.
But anyway, on that note.
the only one I know of that we didn't see was Mikey.
We will do that.
Sounds good.
Let's
go. All right.
Let's
go to commercial.
Want to find out what the AfterBuzz is about?
Janice is a drama queen.
This is the divide that is going to carry the series.
Give us a call. 424-256-1729. 424-256-1729.
It's television, and they want it to be as dramatic as possible.
I mean, it's Shakespearean.
You never know what goes on behind closed doors.
Find out why AfterBuzz TV is the number one source for after-show content.
Now, in the eyes of Jimmy, Nucky is a villain.
424-256-1729.
424-256-1729.
I mean, who would you guys rather hear that from? Your husband or your best friend?
The wig!
Don't let that wig.
When the TV show is over, get your After Buzz on.
This is a great song. I'm glad we're coming back to this. And not the not the theme song for Whale Wars.
No.
All right.
For those of you who don't know, this is the South Park montage for Whale Wars.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
It's good.
Was Cartman the whale?
No.
Type in Eric Cartman poker face.
Yeah.
Okay. South Park.
Yeah. The Japanese were very into it. It was... samurais. I think it was just Japanese samurais going around killing whales and dolphins.
Awesome.
Yeah. And, they went out there to save them.
So is this in keeping with the other seasons?
Oh, what are the predictions?
Now, what?
Your After Buzz TV.
Predictions.
I predict everybody's fine. They're not fine. They survived. Mikey, not so fine, but he'll be fine.
Okay.
Did they interview him?
No.
No. But he didn't die. He didn't die.
How do we know?
Yeah.
Come on.
I don't know.
Come
I
on,
think
John.
Maybe.
Give him some credits.
Maybe there's some damage.
I think they took the long way so they could risk a death. For
you
some,
think they actually
for
killed
viewers.
The guy?
Yeah.
For the ratings?
I know
for the ratings.
Will make it.
Yeah. No, if that were true, they would have been really having a promo frenzy over this.
I think they're going to blame this one on the Japanese.
This is the show where one of our crew dies.
Yeah, yeah. And they're going to have a burial at sea. Yeah. It's going to be really sad.
Ooh. And I think that they said these are the last images that were seen on these small boats. It's because they ran out of battery.
Mm. Yeah, that's true.
It's not
that's
because anybody
totally
died.
True. But they totally made
10 freaking hours.
Okay.
I was like, whoa, somebody died. Everybody died.
But,
how did they get the footage?
Especially the people that were interviewing.
The only real other clue to next episode was the or a future episode, July 8th or something, was the big red ship.
The
radar,
new vessel.
The new vessel that has never been seen.
Now, in this season or any
ever.
Oh wow! And it looked like it had one of those. I don't know what the heck those. The prow has some sort of,
some ramming.
Ramming,
thing.
Yeah, that's what it looked like.
That's not good.
No, not good at all.
I don't.
Gojira.
I don't know if the Gojira is going to be able to take this baby down.
Gojira's going to outrun him.
I think the Gojira could probably be another one of their speedboats could probably be sunk again.
Ooh.
Wouldn't surprise me at all.
Every year they've had a ramming, right?
Oh, they ram every year. The Adige was the only ship they've ever sunk.
I want a ramming.
How successful are
it's
they?
The ramming
usually?
Season.
At what?
When they usually like go ramming or whatever, who wins?
It's usually a draw. I think one time they rammed, they kind of got scratched and they had to patch it up. but everyone's always survived. Only some injuries, and I think the Japanese are technically ahead because they actually sunk a ship. But we'll see. I also look forward to any new weapons we have.
Yeah, I hope to, because each week we had a new weapon revealed.
Yeah, I think the Japanese will employ some ninjas, and the whale sea shepherds will employ suicide whales.
Suicide whales.
Good call.
Yeah.
By the way, Greenpeace doesn't support this.
This
Greenpeace.
Yeah.
Doesn't support this.
They don't.
They just. support doing it in peace or whatever. Right,
yeah. I bet, sure, they don't publicly, they don't support it, but I think anything that's trying to save
like
Will,
it.
I'm sure
it's
they're
like Paul Watson
happy.
Kind of deal. Yeah.
But again, they may hate Paul.
So. That's true. Well, they right. do.
Well,
go Gojira.
On that note, thank you everyone for tuning in to Whale Wars. Keep the fight going.
That's right.
From producers Kevin Undergaro and Phil Svitek, engineer DJ Jesse Janity, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. If you have questions or comments, be sure to buzz us at info@AfterBuzzTV.com. And you can find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter by searching for AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals. And why do you-